Welcome to Liberty this morning. My name is Noel, and I want to extend to you a warm welcome, all those who are visiting with us. It's great to see new faces. Want to just celebrate this morning. Young Connor was up playing electric guitar for the first time with the worship team. Well done, Connor. Well done. It's tremendous to have all sizes and ages up and involved in what God is doing. It's not just for the old folk like Eddie. It's for young people like me and you. Isn't that right? Amen. Just need to say that SAS, Saints and Scholars Freedom in Christ, is on at 7:30. You will do yourself a big favour by being there. And also, we'll announce it on a Tuesday morning. There's also going to be a Saints and Scholars at 11 o'clock for people that are available and people that are not having any work at this moment and people that have the kids gone to school. And so we're trying to give options for people to get deeper into the things of God. So please don't think that Sunday morning is enough to sustain you in your Christian walk. Don't fall for that old trick. Oh, sorry, Sharon, my wife, telling me, did you put on the chicken this morning? Now, how weird is that? Come on, Sharon, we're in church. I know what it says. I'm like, sorry. Oh, you're calling me chicken? I love you, chicken. Oh, I thought I said I love chicken. But at 7:30, the Saints and Scholars. Also, this Friday, I know many women from the church have signed up for the ladies' retreat that is on in Dundalk. It's a national women's retreat, so there'll be women from all over the country celebrating, hearing from, worshipping together, hearing the word of God together, and celebrating together. And if you want to go, there's still places. It's on this Friday. Please see the lovely Sharon and give your name, and she will give you all of the details. And finally, I just want to welcome Kieran and Lucy in with the baby. Baby. Stand up, Kieran. Baby Isabel. Isabella. Isabella. Was it hard work for you? Praise the Lord. Where's Lucy? She's hiding around the corner. Congratulations, Miss Lucy. That is an amazing picture. Praise the Lord. You're very welcome, Isabella. Amen. One more thing. The great big giveaway is coming up. I know we've said loads about this, but this is vital that we reach out to our city at this time. We've been doing it for 20 years, believe me, as a church, as individuals in the church. And the great big giveaway, there's something, let me give you some of the stats. Back there. I'm trying to be all high-tech with my phone in front of me. Only 45 days until the great big giveaway. There's only 28 days left till the food and funds for the hampers must be in. And people want to help do the box, to wrap the boxes and all. And that's happening on Tuesday and Thursday between 10:30 and 3:30 p.m. Please see Newley. Please, if you haven't sponsored, if you haven't got a sponsor card, you can get a little book in now and put it into your house for the next month, where you take, you know what someone told us? In this country, there is millions of euros in all of our houses. And it's in the form of what they call brown money. You know those little 5 cents that nobody will carry? You know them. I have a drawer full of them. You have a drawer full of them. You can get a tin and fill the tin up, and that will go towards a hamper for someone in their community. Please see Jennifer Swan. Will you stand up, Jennifer? Moira here. Moira's down the back. Please see for any involvement. People are giving a tenner a week to buy a hamper. People are bringing in food. People are making connections in their schools. People are making connections in their jobs. When a gang of dockers down in Dublin, docks who don't go to church, when you see a gang of them putting enough money together for 2 hampers, I'm telling you, God is doing something in the midst of us. And don't get left out. Don't get left out. Don't think, oh, that's too small. It's not too small. You just ask the woman that hasn't got enough money for Christmas. You just ask the person that is in need to help pay off their mortgage this Christmas. Just don't think, Anthony, you are important and what you can give can really, really help. So please come along and do that and get involved in the great big giveaway, yeah? You want to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. We've been hanging around with Luke. Well, I've been hanging around with Luke and Luke speaks about Jesus. I've been hanging out in Luke for the last year, would you believe it? I've not really read anything else in the scriptures other than the Gospel of Luke. And it's been an incredible trip. You know, the most simple way to live your Christian life is to look at the life of Jesus. He made it so uncomplicated. Love God and love people. A man comes and says, I've been keeping all these rules, I've been doing all the commandments, even since I was a kid. And Jesus was saying, you missed it. You're missing it. Because it's not about keeping rules. It's not about keeping regulations. He says, someone came and says, what's the greatest of them all? He says, love God, love yourself, and love other people. Look at Jesus' life, how he treated people. Look at Jesus' life, how he interacted with people. Look at the moment. He made it so simple. And here's the beauty of it. He then says that when he rose from the dead and sent the Spirit down to live in those who call themselves and call on the Lord and actually become Christians, become sons and daughters of God, he now comes and lives his life through us. I don't know about you, but I stopped trying to be a Christian years ago. It's too hard to try be a Christian. I'm like, this is going to kill me. To just try to be a Christian. Jesus said that he lives his life through us. So therefore, I'm open for Jesus to live that life through me, his life, to impact people the way he impacted, to heal people the way he healed people, and so forth. And the last couple of weeks, and we'll be staying in this for a while, we call on this expression 10, Luke chapter 10. It's not just about having something to read in the book and that it's a nice thing to read, but I wanted to put that word expression in because it's not for something we just read and go, that's nice. Expression is something that we do. It's an active word. It's something that you know and then you express it in some way. And Luke chapter 10, it's all about expression. It's all about you being and me being all that Jesus had called us to be. And I'll read it again because it's worth reading again. And I encourage you in your reading, go to Luke 10. Read this over and over again. I want to get to the place where I can quote this without even looking at my Bible. I have a bad memory, so I have a long way to go. I'm just happy that I can remember it's in Luke 10. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. He says, go. I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone along the way. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you, heal the sick that are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust from your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than it will be for that town. And then he goes on and they come back to Jesus. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even demons submit to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Amen. Father, bless your word. Change us by the very power of your great word, Father. Father, help this make sense to us. Help us to understand, Lord, that, Lord, as you sent them, you're sending us, Lord. The same Jesus that sent them is the same Jesus that has sent us into the world, Lord God. And we just thank you for the privilege, Father. Thank you for the privilege, Father. Amen. Amen. Quick recap. Jesus said, I sent you out. Get on the podcast, download this stuff, listen to it, read the scriptures, investigate the scriptures, ask God to speak to you. God, what are you saying to me? Open up your word to me, Holy Spirit, so that this is not just something that goes in my ear today and I forget about it tomorrow. This is empowering you to be all that you can be. Well, that's the opportunity that is laid before us. And the first time we spoke about it, we talked about that we are being sent out into this world as ambassadors. That's what the Bible calls us in Corinthians, that we are ambassadors of Christ Jesus. The ambassador is someone who is empowered to go to another nation, to another area, and he has the backing, or she has the backing of the sending country. So you know what I said, that if you talk to the ambassador of America, you're not just talking to him as an individual, you're talking to him as a representative of the nation of America. Equally, if you come against that ambassador, you're not just coming against him as an individual, you're coming against the power that's behind him, which is the might of America, the resources of America. He represents not his own opinion, but the opinions of those who sent him. And Paul says, we are ambassadors of Christ Jesus, that all that heaven has and is behind us wherever we go. And he said, you're being sent out as ambassadors to establish and release and implement the invisible kingdom of God to make it visible in this natural world where we live. He sends us all out. He sends us out as sons. He sends us out as daughters, not as subjects. Not just someone, oh, there's the king, he's all the way over there. But he sends us out as sons and daughters. He sends us out, we looked at, he sends us out as lovers of God. It's an incredible thing to fall in love with Jesus. It's the most wonderful thing. I was up in Belfast a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking, and I says, I want to tell you, I didn't get converted. I didn't just become something. I fell head over heels in love with this Jesus. It was easy to give up something when you're in love. It was easy to stop doing something that you knew was hurting the one that you love. When it was rules and regulations, it was hard. It was a slog. It was easy to spend time with the one you love. It was easy to communicate with him, because I didn't see him as anything other than someone who cares and loves me and died on a cross for me and rose again for me. And it's a lot easier. And if you go, no, I've come in here and it's been sort of a mental trip, that's all right. But I want to tell you, it's a lot better when you fall in love. Because when you're in love, hands up whoever's ever in love. Hands up who's in love. Whoa, I'll tell Terry after. Carol. Carol stood up in church and said, I love Terry. See, if you haven't got it, just ask him to come and sweep you off your feet. Ask the Prince of Heaven to come and to show you who he is. Because I'm telling you, it's some trip that way. He'll get you around to where you need to be, but it's some trip when you get swept off your feet. Isn't that right? He sends us out into this world to represent him who loves us. So you're sent. You don't just go by yourself. You're sent by someone. You're sent by a superior kingdom to anything on this world. And I read this out a couple of weeks ago, and I'll read it out again because it captures everything that I'm passionate about inside of me. It was written by a guy called Shane Claiborne. He says, we are sent to a world that is a mess. People are dying of obesity and people are dying of starvation. Some of us are suffering from the loneliness of poverty and others are aching in the loneliness of wealth. Too often Christianity has only offered life after death. While the world is really asking, is there life before death? We are convinced that Jesus did not just come to prepare us to die, but he came to teach us how to live right here, right now, where we find ourselves. He came to show us the narrow way of life, and that's good news to all who are groaning in the ghettos of poverty and in the ghettos of wealth. Let us be the midwives of another world. We are made to live for something bigger than ourselves. This kingdom is the kingdom of God. This is God's dream for our world. This is the realm where the first shall be last, and the poor are blessed, and the peacemakers are children of God. The whole Christian thing is not just about going to heaven after we die, but it's about bringing God's kingdom into this earth as Jesus prayed. Some have a picture that, like, we're waiting on a train or getting a train, waiting to leave earth to get to heaven. It's like, let's get the hell out of here type of mentality. That everything is going wrong, let's leave the earth and get the hell out of here. Rather, the kingdom of God is like a train coming out of heaven, and we're the ones that are jumping off the train that's coming out of heaven, saying, let's get hell out of here. Let's get hell out of our communities, our families, our city, our nation. It's a different mentality. This is the gospel that should comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. And that means a revolution. It is a revolution that sets both the oppressed and the oppressors free. A revolution that dances and laughs. A revolution that aches with the world. It's a revolution not just for the saints and prophets and celebrities, but a revolution of the ordinary, radical, shocking, holy saints of Almighty God, who lives in a way that do not conform to the pattern of this world anymore, but are transformed by the renewing of our minds into the image of Him who sent us. God, give us a fresh imagination. Perhaps the world will call us crazy, but if we are crazy, it's because we refuse to be crazy in the same way that the world has gone crazy. And this gospel to the hurt and the broken may fly in the face of much of the prosperity preaching that has come to mark Christianity in the West. But this is the gospel of the baby refugee who was born in the middle of genocide, who wandered the world with no place to lay his head, who was jailed and tortured and crucified on a cross in the empire that he lived in. May the sounds of heaven, may the sounds of what he done on the cross bring us closer to Jesus. May the sounds of heaven bring us closer to the poor and the broken of our world. May we find Jesus in the face of those who we see every day in our jobs and in our workplace, in our schools and in our neighborhoods. I pray that we encounter the Jesus who came not just as a missionary to the poor or a charitable philanthropist, but who came as one who suffered, who came as a troublemaker and a creator of holy mischief, who came as a king who ruled with a towel and played and mixed with people even in the dirt. It is this Jesus that bids us, dares us to follow him. It is this Jesus that sends us into this world. So whatever you do, you can sit, you can dance, you can shout, but listen to the one who tells us, if we really want to find our lives, then we should give her away. Listen to the still small voice that will shout louder than all the clamor, that whispers into the clutter of our lives and says to us, the best thing to do with the best things you have is to give them away. I pray that we would know that we are sent to represent this Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, to our world. Reaching out for the higher options. Reaching beyond the veil of this world, our own limitations, and believing that God has something greater for you and I to do. That we weren't some mistake, we weren't some monkey that got lucky, we weren't something that came out of the goo and into the zoo, and then it's you. We're someone who was created, someone who was designed by God. You were not a mistake. You weren't someone that just happened to be here. You weren't someone that was, you were ordained by God. Even before the foundation of the world, God had you marked out and has something for you to do in our world that will bring glory to him and help other people. Now that's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Because I know there's times I've lay in bed as a teenager thinking, what on world am I on earth for? In fact, I only said that a couple of weeks ago again. Am I living to what I was made for? Am I living according to the pattern that God created me? It's a scary question, but a vital one. You're sent. And Jesus said this, and this is where we go with for the next 20 minutes. Jesus says, when you go to a place, pray peace into the house. Pray peace. That when you're welcome, that you say, peace be unto this house. Prayer is so vital. You mightn't think that prayer is vital. You might think God doesn't listen to me. You mightn't see the importance of prayer. But prayer is so important to God. Listen to, out of Revelations. Listen to where prayer goes before God. In Revelations 8, verse 3, what a tremendous picture this is. Another angel came who had a golden censer and came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer. The incense are the prayers of all the saints. And he came with the incenser before God on a golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. The Bible says, when you become a Christian, that you're a saint. You're a radical, shocking, holy saint. Is that right? Or did I miss something? You're a radical, holy, shocking, radical saint or something. You're a radical, shocking, holy saint. That's the way. It means that no one beside you is better than you before God. That no one has a special place before God. We all have a special place before God. If you've asked Jesus to come into your life, you have access to the very throne room of heaven. You have access to the very throne room of heaven. You have a place in God. And it says here that the saints, the prayers of the saints, goes up before God like smoke out of an incense. That they rise up before God, right before the throne. That's what Revelation says. And when John earlier on talked about this prayer censer, and it says it's right near God's throne. So it's not somewhere down there in heaven. It's like inescapable to God that the voices of the saints and the prayers of the saints go up before Him. All the saints, every single one of us, every single prayer goes before. And listen to this. The incense together with the prayer of the saints went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, which was a big bowl, and he filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it down to the earth. And there came pearls of thunder, rumblings and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. It says that when the saints, all the prayers went up, that the angel mixed the prayers with fire and he sent it back down to earth as answers, great pearls, great flashes, great changes in the atmosphere of those who prayed those prayers. Now you might think God is not answering. Look, when the bowl gets heavy, the fire gets added and the pearls get thrown down onto earth. That your prayers matter to God. And Jesus said when you go into a place, just say peace. But I want us to get the bottom line of what prayer is. Peter says that for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers. James says that the prayers of the righteous man is powerful and effective. Revelations, John says that the prayers go up before God. And he takes those prayers and they're in the bowl. And he adds fire to the prayers. And he sends back down changes. When I tell you, when a thunderbolt from heaven hits the landscape, it's different. When it hits your circumstance, it's different. Prayer is vital, and that's when Jesus says, when you're going out, I want you to pray. I want you to say, peace be unto this house. Peace be unto this place. That's how important. He says, it's not enough just to go out and cast out devils without praying. It's not enough to go and eat someone's food without saying, peace be on this house. Because you know what prayer does? It lifts your eyes. Because you're not praying to a man. You're praying to God. Prayer lifts your eyes above your circumstance, your situation, because you're focusing them on God. Prayer takes your eyes off of people who are wrecking your head and place them on God. And the Bible's everywhere calling us to elevate our eyes. Lift them above your circumstance, because your circumstance will convince you that that's bigger than God. Your circumstance, when you have your eyes on them, becomes huge, and your God becomes this size. But when you focus on God, you realize how big he is. And your understanding of the enormity of heaven and heaven's answers. And you go, no, God can answer this. So in Revelations, it describes it as smoke. Holy smoke going before God. Holy smoke going before God. There's places everywhere where it shows in the scriptures about smoke going before God as prayers, where God reveals himself in smoke, a pillar of smoke in the daytime in the Old Testament and a pillar of fire in the nighttime. And I want to tell you, wherever the smoke, there's fire. Isn't that right? Wherever the smoke, there's fire. If you're not getting your prayers answered, I need to ask you, are you sending the smoke up? Because without smoke, there's no fire. But wherever the smoke, there's fire. Do you get me? Wherever the smoke, there's fire. I think that's brilliant. Wherever the smoke, there's fire. That if you don't smoke, meaning sending prayers up, you don't get to the fire. God is not answering me. He's sending incense up to the bowl. Everywhere God moved in the world, there was such a generosity of prayer. Everywhere. You look at all the great revivals, and there was such a sense of people praying and praying and praying before God. People calling their neighbors' names out before heaven. People calling their neighbors' names out before the throne of grace. People going in with all types of requests, all types of things. And that's why it's important to be someone who knows God. The very basic elements of prayer is that you actually talk to God. You actually have a relationship with him. You actually know his heart. How do you know this? First of all, you read your Bible. Because he reveals his heart in the Bible. You pray, you talk to him. How do you pray now? Well, when I'm on my own with God, I talk to him the way I talk to my best friend. No set prayers, there's no. I just talk, Lord. I want to know you more. Lord, what's going to happen in that situation? And it's not a one-way thing, because he wants to answer you. He wants to speak back to you, because that's a friendship and a relationship, isn't it? If you don't get the basics, you'll be asking yourself, God, why are you not answering me in these other things? Because you're probably praying for things he doesn't want to bring into your life because it might hurt you. But when you know him and you have a conversation, he can say, no, don't pray that way, because I'm not giving you that. Or I am giving you that. Prayer, in its basics, is waiting and practicing God's presence. It's a place of humility, knowing your dependence on him. Prayer is in its basic elements, is the exercise of faith, hope. Prayer is the privilege of touching the Father's heart through his Son, Jesus. Paul says to us, here's how to pray. Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God. And he says, and here's the exchange. When you make your request known to God, he gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. That will guard your mind and your heart. No smoke, no fire. No smoke, no fire. It says about Isaiah. It says he went before God. And he's seen God, and he's seen all the holy angels singing around the throne. And it says in Isaiah 6 that the sounds of their voices shook the threshold of the temple, and the whole temple was filled with smoke. And he cried out, I'm undone, I'm ruined, because I've seen God and I've dirty lips. I've done things wrong in my life and I'm unclean. What am I going to do? I've seen God. The whole smoke of God's glory is all around me. And he says he looks up and an angel goes to the fire, the holy altar of God, and took a fire coal. And he came and he touched his lips. See, if there's no smoke, there's no fire. Jesus said to the disciples, go and wait in the upper room. And he waited in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. And they were up there and they were doing all sorts of things. And one of the things they were doing was praying. They were sending smoke up to heaven. And in Acts chapter 2, fire fell from heaven and empowered them to go and win the world for Jesus. There has to be smoke before the fire. I had a dream last night, and in the dream Eddie was in it. And we were watching a race up on a mountain. It was a cool place wherever it was. And I looked at Eddie and he had a pipe in his mouth. Not like Popeye or Sherlock Holmes. And I was like, Eddie, what are you doing with the I was like, me olives, you know, remember Popeye? And he goes, do you want to try it? I says, all right. I was like, I says, will this harm you? Will this do damage to your lungs? He goes, no, this type of smoke doesn't. And I woke up, and like in front of my eyes, there was like a mist of smoke. And a phrase came to me with the mist of smoke. But there's no fire without smoke. I want to tell you guys, you're smoking. You are smoking. There's a smell of smoke off people in this place. I'm not joking. Everyone's going, my goodness, were you out having a smoke? Truly, the young boy got healed down the back. Little Leon. Smell of smoke off of this place. There's people's lives being transformed. I'm telling you, there's a smell of smoke. There's people getting revelation of who Jesus is. There's a smell of smoke off of people in this place because they're praying. They're waiting on God. The intercession team, the team that is set aside in this church to pray specifically for you and I. I want to tell you, Peter, there's a smell of smoke off you. There's a smell of smoke. Do you remember when you were younger, for those who were younger? Before I even started to smoke, you used to get copper. I remember you used to collect the copper and you'd light a fire in the field and you'd burn all the plastic off the copper. And, you get the copper and you bait all the hard plastic off and your face would be manky. You'd be stinking of the smoke and you go up and your ma would say, well, you had a fire. No, I wasn't, ma. She'd go, no, you're stinking of smoke. Ma, I wasn't. It must have been someone else. What's all the black on your face? I don't know. Oh, when you got caught smoking for the first time, let me smell your breath. Smell of smoke off you. There is a smell of smoke. See, the smoke doesn't harm. That was always trying to make sense of this dream. I don't have dreams that I remember. And every dream I remember, I always seem to have some type of significance in my life. When I woke up, I was like, I could see a mist before me. And the phrase, there's no fire without smoke. There's no smoke without fire. And God wants to send us fire on all the smoking saints. He wants to not only you to have a smell of smoke off you, but he wants you and I to carry the fire of heaven around in us. And that's what Jesus was saying. When you go to that house and you say, peace be unto this house. And we'll get into this in a couple of weeks, what he was saying, or what I believe he wants to say to us. But when he was saying, he wasn't just like, oh, peace be unto your house. He was like, I'm smoking, peace be unto your house, fire come down. And something of heaven came and changed the whole landscape of the house. And that's what we're called to do in our neighborhoods. Let's bring this down to grassroots, yeah? Let's take this month of November and pray for your whole neighborhood. Pray for the peace of God to visit every home in your block, on your road, in your neighborhood, in your estate, in your apartment block. You might know all their names. But Lord, I pray for number one, peace be unto you. Pray for house number two. I know her, that's Mary. She's a bit of a weapon, but I pray the peace of God. Even your enemies. You can't just skip the one that you don't like. That's been putting their black bags into your wheelie bin. Believe me, we have them as well. And put it in the Christian's bin. Little did we know, we'd go back out and put it in their bin. But anyway. And I like to spread love, so I put it in the neighbours beside them just for good measure. I'm only joking. But let's take the challenge. Let's take it to grassroots. Imagine all the streets that's represented here. All the homes in your neighborhood that's represented here. That you believe, as the Bible said, as I told you, that your prayers is going up to heaven and are kept in an incense bowl. And then God says one day, angel, throw a pearl down into that home. The husband gets saved. The wife gets saved. The kids come to know the peace that only comes from God. That children's lives are transformed. And someone else, oh, there's someone down there with cancer. We prayed for peace for their house. Come on, we just pray the healing of God. And the incense bowl is full up and the answers is released onto heaven. See, when all that was described in Revelations, when all of it is described, what he chose to throw down from heaven changes landscapes. It changes whole landscapes. Lightning and bolts of pearls being dropped from heaven is like meteors coming out of the kingdom of God that transforms everything in front of it. That's what God does. You think you don't know my landscape. God knows your landscape. And I say over you, peace be unto you. Peace be in your home. Peace be in your mind. The word for peace is called the shalom, peace of God. It's not just like peace with the absence of war. It's the deep-rooted, seated peace of God that brings wholeness and completeness and healing and prosperity. It's a peace that completes the individual. It's the peace that completes the purposes of God in people's lives. When you say the peace, when they went in and said, peace be unto this house, they were calling fire down from the smoke that was being sent up. And this is what God wants to do. This is how you start the holy revolution. You set all these people on fire and you send them out to burn in their communities. That's what Acts chapter 2 was all about. Fire coming from heaven. Now go out and burn. Let's pray.